Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the best running back in the class, Breece Hall. I think it's basically a consensus at this point, with the exception of PFF, who likes Kenneth Walker over Breece Hall. I think they're grading for something a little bit different. But for fantasy purposes, I think Hall's pretty much a lock to be the number one running back. And I think even in super flex formats, I would guess that he's going to be a lock to go number one. 5'11", 217, 4'3", 9. It's a 94th percentile 40 score. 40-inch vert, and that's 94th percentile. 126 broad jump, 92nd percentile. Is a 30 BMI, 116.9 speed score, right? So across the board, just a physical specimen. A physical producing specimen. I don't know this because I don't do this, but there is some... I don't know if it's criticism's probably not the right word, but there's a concern, I guess, would be the word, is probably the better word to use, about his cut, right? Like, he's a little bit tall and is lacks the right sort of bulk, was something that showed up. And just the way his frame is put together, there is some concern about that. I don't know. Again, that's not what I do in terms of looking at these guys. And the people that sort of study the frames and all, you know, the like, they've sort of done that. I'm just passing it along. I don't think it's anything super, super concerned about. But there was something that popped up and saying, hey, some of his physical skills of producing as a, you know, a lot of the stuff after contact, there might be some questions and concerns about how that actually translates. So that he needs to basically bulk up a little bit and get a better dispersion of his weight. So for what that's worth, I thought I'd pass it along. When you look at his some of his production in the receiving game, yards per route run, 0.98. That's good for 48th percentile. When you look at targets per route run, it's 24 percentile. At 12.3. So again, he's basically way ahead in terms of the production. We'll get back to that in a minute. That's generally a good thing of what you want to see. 3.7 carries per broken tackle. That's good for 87th percentile. 46.3% of his yards are explosive yards. So that's 81st percentile. So again, really a threat every time he touches it. That's good. Yards after contact, 3.2. 56 percentile. Again, just passing along the thought that there's a little bit of question about maybe how his frame is in terms of translating. He's a big time volume back. 531 carries the past 2 years, is 111 more than anybody else. Right, let me say that one again. 533 carries over the past two seasons is 111 more than any other running back in college football in the past 2 years. So when you look at that, that's a big boy performance in terms of volume and really putting that all together. So you like to see the durability aspect of it. There's always a catch 22 of that. Is it durable, or is it is there too much tread off the tire, right? Like you sort of have that duality of volume is good, he can handle it. Volume is bad because maybe it's too much, right? You sort of have that duality. But we've seen guys with huge, huge volumes before. Christian McCaffrey is a really good example of this. Like, that kind of showed to us that he could hold up, right? And, you know, he's been banged up a little bit. I don't think it's anything that really is injury prone. But you did have questions about if a running back that size could hold up. And you don't really have that. I don't have that now. When you look at... you know, when you look at Hall in terms of some of the PFF scoring, he is in the 40s in terms of PFF grade for the past year. There's a lot of condensed. The difference between 40 and 14 isn't super much. So for what that's worth, and I don't think it's necessarily a predictive thing when you look at his profile either. Next Gen has him at 99th percentile. Again, that's a lot of the production stuff. PFF has him 2. Waldman has him 1. Danny Kelly at the Ringer has him 1 as well. I think the market's going to have him as 1. I think when you watch him, again, he's an explosive player, right? Anytime he really touches the ball, it's like broken tackle, can sort of hit a gap and go and have a chunk play, right? And that's, we talk a little bit about like the difference between a guy like Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Taylor. Jacobs can sort of grind you down to death, right? You know, can, but isn't going to riff off a 85-yard touchdown run typically, right? That's not really his game in terms of what he does. Hall's very much in the Jonathan Taylor camp of the position where he can, you know, take a big gain and make a big difference. I know that there is a lot of optimism, I guess, about his passing game work as well. I would say this about Hall. When I watch him, I don't think that he is the most, again, he's 20 and he'll be 21 in May. So just for what this statement is worth, I don't think he's the most natural at getting open. I think you'll see him run a route and he'll just kind of like run into a defender. And that's more of like some of your angle routes, like some stuff like that. Like he'll just, you know, you'll see him do kind of like an outside release. I'm going to get all football wonky. You'll see him do an outside release and when he's trying to run an in-breaking angle route, and then he'll just sort of run into his defender and you're like, okay, you just covered yourself, right? Like you're just this massive physical talent, but you just covered yourself. And I saw that a lot with him. Like it was some weird, I was odd because I've seen other guys in this class that I like a lot, less as a prospect, but you see them do some of that stuff better, right? Isaiah Spiller, for example, I thought did some stuff where you're like, okay, like, yeah, he kind of understands a little bit more in the passing game about like how to actually get open. Where with Hall, I was a little bit like, huh, like you should be able to, like, that should be an easy separation, but you run into the guy just because your technique's a little jacked. So that's really the quibble that I would have. But again, you look, right, he's played 36 games in college, and you know, he's got 23 catches and 36 catches, right? 3 catches per game this past year. That's a really, really good production level, right? That's a really good one. My concern is, I think, is he a little bit more like Zeke in the passing game, where it's like, yeah, Zeke can do this thing really well, but maybe they don't necessarily highlight him because of, he's not super duper elite at it in terms of like a route runner and that sort of stuff. That would be my lone concern. Again, I am picking nits on a guy that caught basically 2 catches, 2 balls a game his first 2 years in college, and at 20 years old did it 3 per game, right? I am absolutely picking nits. That's just the one thing in terms of, he's probably has plenty of profile to grow. That'd just be the one thing about him that I would just, I'm curious to watch, right? If he can sort of grow into that and get a little bit better in those ways. Otherwise, you know, I do think some of the stuff about him maturing and about his body and the like, he's 20 years old. And I think he can grow and sort of fill out. We've seen him sort of handle this 4.3x at running back is really enticing, especially a guy that catches multiple catches per game for 3 straight years, right? That's something you want to invest in. I think it's worth exploring moving up. I do think like a couple of mid firsts, if that gets you to 1, right? I think it's worth doing. You know, because I think it's him and then it's a big tier break personally. And I think if you're a contender, right, this is the type of guy that you could put on your team and really turn things up a notch, right? So if you're sort of in the middle of the round, maybe you got some picks, so you can put together an offer that'll get you up there to the top of him. He's going to almost start off pretty close to being a star asset. So I think that's kind of where he's going to get up into the range. I don't think he'll get all the way there, but he's going to be a high level core guy by the time the draft season is unfolding and the summer is here in full force. So like the player, really like the player. I have 101 in a couple of spots, including an all-important home league, which I am excited to send in the pick for, and with very little suspense, I will be attacking Bryce Hall at the 101 in that draft. So excited for it, and excited to see where he lands. It's more day 2 than day 1, and I actually talked about this in the Football Guys podcast. I went a little AOD on the Football Guys podcast in terms of some of the benchmarks and stuff for rookie drafts. And so go ahead and check it out. And by the way, there's a new subscription. If you're listening to the Football Guys podcast, there's a new feed for it that we're going to be sort of transitioning over to in a couple months here. So go ahead, subscribe to that and check that out. But I did dive into, I used the grinding the mock stuff. And there's basically, there hasn't been a class like this century where there wasn't a top 10 quarterback, a top 10 wide receiver, first round running back, and or a first round tight end, right? So like the minimum on that has been two this century. And right now, so at the last check of grinding the mocks, the number was zero. So I don't think Hall's going to be a first rounder. We'll see, you know, if it's a, and the interesting part about a guy like Hall is I know a lot of people will say, oh, it's the NFL sort of driving down the, you know, they're getting it on rookie running backs and they're getting it on not drafting guys in the first round and yada, yada. There's just a lack of demand. And it has almost nothing to do with, I mean, it probably has something to do with the teams that we've been seeing winning it, right? That's a copycat league and all that. But I also think from a, like the position's really good right now, right? So if you had, you know, if you sort of flip this on its head and say, all right, everyone's got, you know, Justin Herbert at quarterback, right? Who's like, you know, a 24-year-old cyborg or whatever. He's 23 or whatever he is. You know, if there was 32 of those guys, right, and they were spaced out across all the teams, like where would quarterbacks go? Well, like, yeah, it's the most important position in all of sports, but everyone has one. Right? Like, they're not going to go that high. It's just the demand's not going to be that high. I kind of think that about running back too. I don't necessarily think we're going through a, I don't know. There's still plenty of teams out there, I think, that'll make questionable and dubious decisions at the running back position. There's just a large supply of really good ones right now. And as a result of that, like you're not going to see Hall go that high just because there's not that many bidders. Right. So I think it's possible he sneaks into the late first. Like I've seen Buffalo mocked, you know, and the like, I think that'd be interesting. I don't want them to take a running back at that point. If they were to trade down something like that and he becomes available in the second, yeah, that's great. But I don't think taking a running back in the first round really makes your world that much different. So, but yeah, I think solid day two and a 2010 draft class or something like that, you know, 2004 or 2010 or whatever, like even like 2015, something like that. I think you would see Hall being a comfortable first round pick. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. Breece Hall, the number one, presumptive number one pick in most rookie drafts. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We're going to talk again real soon.